Welcome to O2 Coaching's Empower Your Team podcast series with your host, Chloe Caron, founder and president of O2 Coaching. As an executive coach, author, businesswoman, thought leader, and speaker with more than 20 years of experience, Chloe's USC, her unique strategic contribution, is to create a new generation of inspiring and inspired leaders by positively impacting the lives of 1 million leaders through her webinars, conferences, books, and podcasts. In this podcast series, Chloe and her guests will take you on a journey, sharing their leadership stories, struggles, successes, and learnings. The conversations will highlight practical advice and insights for leaders. Be sure to share your thoughts on this podcast series on our LinkedIn or Facebook pages. Enjoy this podcast.
Welcome to Empower Your Team podcast series. Last time we were together, we discussed the concept of head, heart, and guts with Françoise Lion, president and managing partner of DGC Capital. This week, we will dive into the concept of communication styles and communication as a whole with Eve Laurier, general manager at Edelman Montreal, award-winning strategic communicator. So who better than Eve to dive into that topic? She actually invites us to reflect on our why. Why is the question to ask yourself prior to communicating? What's your intent? What are you really trying to have in terms of impact as you're communicating with your message? It will connect you with your heart and your gut, as she says. So a good segue with our session, our prior session. And it'll become easier as we practice and we do it often. I'd like to spend a bit of time prior to having you listen to this podcast to invite you to think about how in this context, how are you communicating? And what's your intent as you're communicating? Is it to communicate solely end results, the objective, KPIs, how we're going to do it, and really focus on the how of things? Or are you elevating the game to think about, as Evan is inviting us to do, to think about the intention, the why, the purpose? Where are we going? Who are we becoming as a team in the pursuit of our objective? And I know it may sound a bit high level, but this is where people feel the anchoring of what they're doing. And so as you're clear on that intention, then it becomes easier to use different communication styles to adapt to others so that they can hear, listen, and integrate your message in a much easier way. And in this phase two of the pandemic, I think we need to be very mindful of what it is that we communicate, how we communicate, and how we connect with others with that intent of connecting with others. So without further ado, Eve Laurier, enjoy, and as always, be inspired and inspire. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to this podcast, Empower Your Team. I am so excited to have Eve Laurier with us today. Eve is an amazing woman. I've had the privilege to work with you. We've had the privilege to work together on a mandate. And before we get, because we're so excited, we want to speak, we want to talk, I want to pick your brains on so many things. I want to make sure that everybody knows who you are for those who do not know you, a few of them. You're the GM of Edelman Montreal. You're an award-winning communicator. You work with C-suites leaders and you help them communicate. You help them position themselves. You help them be the best version of themselves when they're out there in the public communicating a message. What else would you add to that? Welcome, Eve.
That's pretty cool. I like how you presented that. Well, I mean, you said it, that's my passion. I mean, for me, communication has been something I've been doing all my life, even when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that when I went into management and I went to school, it's not given to everybody to know how to communicate. And it's also not taught in a lot of leadership schools. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, well, let me help our leaders. And hopefully I'm doing a good job at it.
And who else than you to talk about one of our topics that we have in the book, Empower Your Team, which is communication style. So it's not exactly what you're doing in the sense that you help people take their style and optimize it. When we think about communication style, it's really understanding the style of others so that I can adapt, so that my message can really transcend their way of understanding it and their way of taking that message. So nobody else better than you to have this conversation. I was curious to start. In what you see when you work with someone, what's been the most challenging for people in terms of communicating? What's really difficult for people in general?
Accepting that being authentic is okay. Yeah. Accepting that authenticity is where you have to start from. Yeah. For some reason, like, people have been taught communicate even internally in meetings or externally in front of other stakeholders, there's a magical way, and they've learned something that we have to make them unlearn, which is just, what do you want to say and why? And what's the impact you want to have with that message? Let's start with that. And that's, to me, that's authenticity, but people shy away from that because they're like, well, no, right? I have to play a certain role. I'm a boss, or I'm, and it's like, no. Let's start with authenticity. So it's crazy because I have to undo a lot of things mm-hmm. to get to the real core of where it should be at. And then we build from there.
In a word, it's like, do more of you and start with you. And then we can enhance it, is
exactly.
What you're saying. So have you found that COVID has actually helped people be more who they were and more authentic?
It's a great question. I mean, for me, COVID, you know, there was so many emails going between colleagues before and between clients and colleagues and boss and whatever. And now it's like, we don't communicate by phone anymore. We Zoom or we Team. And so we actually were engaging, I find, a lot more in communication than we were before COVID, because we could hide before COVID. But now it's like, nobody's calling each other on the phone anymore. It's like, no, let's Zoom. So I find like people are getting thrown into communication. And it's also taken away all the barriers or the rigid way we tend to look at business. Everything's changed. I'm speaking to you from my cottage.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me less of a business serious, you know, intense, motivated person. It's just, this is my real life that you would have never seen before. But now the planet's behaving like this. So yeah, actually, I think it's really helped people. When you talk about authenticity, you have kids running around, you have like the male person knocking at your door, and you just have to do with real life in communication. So I think it's actually helping people.
So when you start working with someone, so you said I need to kind of deconstruct and then start with where they are. What else do you do? Like, if you were to work with someone, how would you start working with them? What would you do?
Often it's the basic why it's important to communicate. A lot of people are like, you know, I don't want to do
it's another thing.
So why you have to communicate, and you don't have to be the CEO to have to communicate. You don't have to be a boss to have to communicate. Mm-hmm. Anybody has to re-interact and collaborate with so many people in a day. It's important. And I loved your section in the book about the styles. Like, it is so important to understand mm-hmm. you're going to have to communicate, and you're going to have to do it well if you want things to go well and things to be enjoyable and also to perform. So I explain the why it's important à la base, like to start with. And then it's really to make them understand they have something to say. People are like,
They underestimate the message that they have, I think. Eh? Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
And everybody has a story to tell. Everybody's got a story to tell. Hierarchy has nothing to do with this. Years of experience in business has nothing to do with this. We all have a personality. We all have a story. We all have learnings, background. We all have a mission, values. So it's important that you understand that you have that. Mm-hmm. So you do have something to say. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting.
And so you help them define that story too, I'm assuming.
Exactly. Like in your book, it's also, what's your style? For some reason, I read a lot about extroversion and introversion recently. And people seem to think you have to be an extrovert mm-hmm. to be able to be a good communicator. We have to absolutely debunk that. So a lot of people use that to say, oh, Dad, I'm not a communicator.
I'm an introvert. Yeah.
I'm an introvert. Like in your styles, you know, I think there's the analytics. You have to communicate, but with your own style and adapt to the styles that are around you. And it goes beyond introvert and extrovert. But I think that's really, really important.
What would you say are like if you had to divide it in, I'll say three, but if it's four, it's four, but the three kind of big buckets of storytelling, if I have them, and storytelling might seem like a big word, but if I have a message to convey, if I want to draft and kind of define that message in three buckets, what would they be?
I think for me, and I don't know if I have one, two, or three, but it's what's your intent? What's your intent? So people are like, okay, what, I have to start writing something. And it's like, stop the writing. Don't start writing. Start thinking about the impact of your message. And that's going to connect with something deep inside of you. That's going to connect with your gut, your heart, your emotions. And that's going to trigger something so much easier than to say, oh my God, I have to be funny now. I have to find a funny story. I have to find a funny headline. So it really is, and it's like that for day-to-day interaction. Before you start communicating and telling a story, what's the intent and what's the impact you want to have? And once you've connected with that, the rest is going to follow.
I so love that, because I do find that the intent anchors people in the why, as you mentioned earlier on, but also to who they are and back to authenticity. So I help people forgetting about the task, but thinking about what they want to have in terms of impact. And I think that's so aligned to what you're saying. And so often, and maybe these days, because we're so caught up in the tourbillon, we forget that intent, would you say? How do we get back to that intent? How do we, on a regular basis, if we don't have an Eve Laurier that supports us to get back to that intent, how? What are the tips to go back to that?
I think, you know, for me, I don't know if you saw you told me you saw my LinkedIn post yesterday, but I did a post about the pandemia, you know, and I've been at my cottage for 5 months and I've been doing a lot of walking. And I knew that at one point I wanted to write about this story of the COVID and the pandemia and being at my cottage, but I didn't put any pressure on it. And yesterday that text came out in 10 seconds and I didn't correct it and I just posted it, and I've been getting so many emails. And give yourself space. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this app called Headspace. Mm-hmm. We don't give ourselves space when we just tend to communicate like we're like the mitraillette, you know, like machine guns. Like, yeah, there's transactional communications that you have to do. But if you want to have an impact when you're going to tell your story or when you're going to go communicate with any of your stakeholders, you need to have headspace to think about it. And for that, do what it is that gives you that creativity, connects you with your heart. You know, so for me, it's walking. I walk between 10,000 and 15,000 steps a day. When I'm done, I'm like, oh, already? So that's my thing. We all have a thing. Some it's sports, some it's music, some it's just drawing with your kids. But you need space to connect with what it is that you want to say and your why. And then it's going to be a lot easier. But saying, I'm going to put in my outlook that on Tuesday from 9 to 10, I'm going to write my story. If you haven't had time to give it some time, you know, to get ready in your head and connect with your heart, it's going to be a bad, it won't connect with people. Mm. You know, it's not that it's going to be bad. It's just because it's not going to be unique enough and you enough.
Yeah.
You enough. So don't put it in an outlook. But give yourself, tell yourself and put on your to-do list that you want to write your story and put a deadline. Otherwise, you're never going to do it. Mm. People don't take time to write enough. I had a great MBA teacher of management that told us that the secret to being a good leader is to taking 15 minutes every day in the morning to write and without any topic, just learn to connect and to put it down on paper with words. And I remember looking, I've been doing this all my life. I've been writing. I have diaries. I have boxes since I've been 12 years old. So to me, it's like, of course. But I was looking at my colleagues in front of their white paper in the morning, freaking out because they were not used to
connecting with themselves.
Yeah. And write it
and
down.
Write it. Yeah.
Write it down.
I think I'm going to steal that if you agree, because that's our first step. It's connecting to yourself in the 5C model that we present, because I believe that to your point that as a leader, if you don't know who you are, if you don't speak with yourself in a way and you don't have that relationship with yourself, it's really difficult to be a good leader for others. So I'll steal absolutely this as an additional tip, if you don't mind, because communicating, if I had to summarize what I just heard from you, then doesn't start when I speak. It starts way before, in my mind when I had that idea, but then when I put it on paper.
Exactly.
Real communication starts there.
And then, because you talk about it with your book, you have to, once you have that, you have to stop thinking about you completely.
Yeah.
And you have to start looking at the person in front of you. Yeah. And wonder, what's going to be the impact of my message on that person? And if it's a good impact, of course, how is it that I should send that information to that person? What's their style?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they going to be able to listen to what I just came up with? So it's all about the other person at one point. Once you've crafted your story, it's absolutely no longer about you and your communication style. It's about the person or the people around you.
On that, you mentioned the heart, the gut. In the book, I talk about the head, heart, and gut, which is not so much related to communication, but the whole approach of being a leader. And I also talk about analytical driver and whatnot in terms of different styles. How do you propose to adapting yourself to others? Like, what's your framework in saying, I have to adapt to a group of 10, a group of 100? How do I do that?
Well, I mean, if you're in a business setting, I think I've been listening and I've been asking for feedback about how it is I communicate, because I know my style and I know my style. Like, I don't remember all the labels, but there is one that's like driver and excited, emotional, whatever. Like, if there's that style with like 5 stars next to it, that's me. And you know that, and everybody that knows me knows that. But I understand that that's not good for everybody. And it's only good in certain situations. So I ask feedback and I've gathered a lot of feedback, and I know when it's time to let that shine and let that part of me shine. But when it's time also to pull it back a little bit, because there's going to be a lot of people in the room and that style may just take over the message.
Mm-hmm.
So A, get feedback, and then B, conscious that when you walk into a room, there's a lot of different styles. So if you're a person like me that has a very overpowering style, you just have to be really mindful of that when you get into a room with a big team, to say, I'm going to have to calm that down to make sure that I'm gathering everybody. And then there's a part where there's a momentum, uh-huh, and there's trust. Then you can really be your authentic self in your communication style all the time, because your people will tell you if they need you to calm down. So that's over time and through a trust building relationship.
So really thinking about the other is what you're saying, like, I'm not communicating for myself. I'm communicating for someone else to receive what I think is important to communicate. So I heard people, and I think I mentioned this in the book, that we need to focus on a few different things that speaks to different parts of a person, like how, what, why. You mentioned why earlier. When. So these different elements speak differently for different people, and they're more important for others than someone else. So by being able to draft a message that has all of those components, would you say that helps everybody understanding it? Or would you say, no, focus on one thing and forget about that?
I think it absolutely helps. And I think that preparation is key. Mm. And again, I don't find people prepare their communication. So if you're in front of a group, there's going to be all the styles. So pretend that in all of the room, there's 100 people and 30% of them are analytical, and you never get to the what. You're just talking about the why. They're just waiting, right? Because they're like, where are we going with this? Where's my spreadsheet? People like me, if you just talk about the what, but you're not telling me why, I have no interest in your what, because I wonder, tell me why I should do that. And then absolutely, I'm going to kick the what part. So quickly address that in the beginning to make sure that you're gathering everybody's interest and they all know what's coming. So, I mean, a meeting without an agenda, not an agenda of all the things you need to, an agenda of communication. When, where, why, how, clack, 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 clack. start with that. So you've got every, so you know you're going to gather everybody into the group and they're all going to get a piece of what they need at different extents. That's a fantastic way to hold a meeting. I see it 5% of the time, if at all. So my role, if I'm in a meeting and I'm not running the meeting, is to go, oh my God, they haven't said what yet. So at one point I'm going to cut up and say, can I just, before we keep on going on the how or the when, can we just, what is it exactly that we're going to be doing and what's going to be the impact? And then I can see some eyes going, oh, they're back. So I help navigate sometimes.
This is so critical because I see, to your point, people in meetings getting impatient while other people speak because, to your point, they're not receiving what they need to receive in order for their brain to continue being part of that conversation.
And I've seen you do a lot of something. I stole something from you. So it's an exchange now.
Love it.
Because one thing that I don't do enough and I've started doing, looking at you doing it, is what do you want to get out of the meeting today? Like a quick 15 second, if you have like a group of 15, 20 people, you can still do it. What's your KPI today? What do you want out of this meeting quickly? So you know where to also spend your time and who do you have around as an audience? And that's a real way of engaging people as well. Not you talking to, it's you talking with. Mm. And we tend to do meetings like everybody's there, you're at the head of the table, boom, 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 you send the content, everybody got it, thank you, and you leave. But wait, it's not about you. It's I know what I have to talk to you about, but is there something? So here's what I'm going to talk to you about. From this, is there anything specific somebody I should not be missing on? And listen to your people. Speak less, listen more, even when you're communicating.
Oh my God, I think this is so powerful. So speak less, even when you're communicating. So how do we validate that our message is being not only received, because that's kind of the first step, I'm assuming, but understood is what we really want. How do we validate that?
Well, I think there's always the day after. Right? I don't know if you agree with me, but we tend to, yeah, good. Yeah. Everybody got it. Yeah. And then, and I have a boss, I have peers, I have people sending me, communicating with me, giving me, and then I'm like, and then the next day I'm like, not sure if I understood everything now. And I just love like a quick email or a, hey, like any questions about yesterday? Did you get lost? Do you have questions? And it's like, in fact, I do have a question. Or a point of clarification, or if you don't have time to do that, then send your written agenda and your points to the people after, because some people, again, it's a style, some people listen better, some people will read your email 10 times with a highlighter, and like, you know, it, we're all different, it's okay, this is how. So make sure also you have a written part, a trail, and something that without the emotion in the room, people can look at, you know, quietly and say, okay, now I really do understand, and it's sinking in. So validate.
So what you're actually saying is that, and it seems obvious as I'm going to say it, but communication is not a one-stop thing. It's a continuum that evolves. So we may have had a conversation. We may have had a discussion. We've agreed on X, Y, Z, but it still evolves over time. So how do I make sure that it stays clear over time is what you're saying. Is don't assume because we've talked about it yesterday.
It's exactly. And the other thing I do in my team, and somebody, a team member is going to laugh when they listen to this, but I know what type I am. And I found somebody in my team that's a communication type that's completely different than me, but somehow he understands everything I say, even when it's quite not clear. And people tend to go to him to say, could you just, and he translates me. And that's amazing, you know? So I said to him, like, you're the best. You're like, high five. Because I know that even if I'm not a 10 on 10 on my communication today, just because I'm too busy, there's too much. If you're there, like, people will, the analytical part of the group that were like, she's going too fast, she's too excited, I didn't hear my what. They're going to go to him and he's, this is what she meant. This is what you need. And it's amazing. So, and we've actually clarified that. So when I talk about authenticity, I don't hide from that. I told people, you know, for those of you that like need a second hand at what
we'll
I just said,
John. or whatever his name.
Sam. Yeah. Everybody goes to Sam. Even my emails, people are like, what does she mean by this? And he's like, oh, so no problem.
Yeah.
You know, tag team.
What you're alluding to is that every style has their strengths and weaknesses, probably.
Yeah.
And you're saying we need to build a team in order to really strongly communicate over the group. So it's not a one-person show. As a group, we understand to get together is what I'm hearing from you.
And again, I saw you do that in your sessions as well, where you have somebody that's there to say, did everybody understand? Hey, you're tuning off over there, John or Julie, or you're not looking at the group anymore. Is that because did we go too fast on something, or do you need us to pause? And that is so amazing to do that, because often the person will say, how did you catch that? Mm-hmm. In fact, yes, I'm stuck. 3 minutes ago, you said something that I really love and I'd like to talk more about it, or I kind of disagree with. And so I'm no longer in the meeting. I'm still pondering that. So having somebody that's kind of just looking at the end, there's people are really good at doing that and they love that role. It's just, and it's not a pointing the finger. Mm-hmm. It's just, hey, we need you back. What do you need? Because maybe there's other people like you in the room.
Yeah.
And so that's a really, I don't remember what you call them, but anyway, you had a label for these people that kind of look at the energy around the room. And
they're face cops.
Face cops.
Reading the room. Reading the room. Yeah, absolutely. Because when you have a bigger group, then sometimes you don't have eyes all around or your head to see that. Okay, so let's think about communications as a strategic tool, especially in the context that we're in. We're thinking about relaunching the economy, whatever that means, but we're really trying to move forward and be focused on our objectives. Communication as a strategic tool, thinking about the next couple of months, what do you think as a leader we should be focusing on?
I mean, the thing not to do right now is to create noise. And this is a Richard Edelman quote. I work for Edelman. It's a communications firm. So I have gurus of communications, including Richard Edelman himself. He's phenomenal. He talks no nonsense. And he's like, if you're going to communicate in this time of crisis, pandemia, worry, instability, call it whatever you want, just don't create noise. Have a point of view, right? Don't just... And you know, in the normal context of things, we're all guilty of it, but we tend to think we have to speak up to show that we are present. And we do create noise often, repeat what somebody else has said. What we need right now are points of views. What we need right now are reassuring points of views or different points of views and validated facts, just not noise. So I would say be careful with that. But if you do have a point of view, or if you do have an experience that you think will help other people start thinking about what they're going through, then please communicate it. You know, this is important. As a society, we need to come together right now. So if you do have something to say and you feel something strongly, you've had an insight, share it. And it doesn't have to have a business impact to it, because you're speaking to people around you that are working in communities, that are working in businesses, that will go somewhere and it will have an impact on somebody and it will have an impact on a team. So think about your experiences, think about what's going on in the world. And if you have a point of view or if you have something, an insight that you don't feel is good enough, then I'm telling you, it probably is. And people want to hear that right now, it will reassure them that they're not alone.
Yeah. How does social media fit into that?
I think it's a great place to go. People are starting to trust social media a little bit more. I also think there's a trend that I'm seeing is that traditional media, so just think about all our Canadian traditional media, they've opened up a lot of space, digital space, because they're mostly digital, for the public. For citizens, for exactly that. And obviously I work in PR, so I speak to a lot of journalists and I speak to a lot of these media outlets, and they really do want to hear from Monsieur, Madame, tout le monde and people like me. So do send your opinion letter, do send your picture of the day with your thought of the day, you're going to be surprised that it's going to get somewhere. But otherwise, take that. And yes, social media is a great place. It's also a great place if you're too shy to write something, then to share something that's touched you and why it's touched you. And that takes 5 seconds. I think in this time of social media, again, go and communicate. People are listening.
And people need to connect more than ever. To what it seems to me, so the shift I've seen on social media, perhaps it's my own perspective, but it's we used social media prior to the pandemic to kind of showcase and show ourselves. Now it's to really to connect at a deeper level is what I'm sensing.
Yeah, I'm seeing a little bit of everything. I'm seeing, so I agree with you. I think it's okay to showcase because you're proud, you know, proud of your kids, proud of whatever. But yeah, I think people are connecting more and more. And I see people giving their point of view more and more. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, still be careful with politics, still be careful with religion. But we live in a time of Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. hashtag Me Too 2.0. Toxic workplace, because there's been a lot of crisis with that, leadership crisis. There's so much happening in our society. If you have a point of view that can help people better understand a situation, if you're from the Black community and you have something to say about Black Lives Matter, we need to read what it is that you have to say. And I find more and more people are doing it. Instead of going, I'm just going to sit there
and watch the train. And
people are like, okay, I find that fantastic.
And we're actually elevating everybody at the same time as the humanity of our planet. Okay, so I could continue so much, but I have 4 questions that I want to ask you before we leave. And that's kind of the 1 minute segment where you have just a couple of minutes to answer those. They're quick and they bring in value to our audience. What is your USC, what I call your unique strategic contribution, is the only thing like that Eve Laurier needs to do? If you were to do 1 or 2 things in the world, what is that?
I think anybody that knows me and anybody that's watching right now, and I've only had one coffee, is energy and inspiration. So I talked about intent at the beginning. For me, my intent in the world, in my micro day-to-day stuff and my big strategic macro thing is after speaking, seeing, hearing, collaborating, working with me, do you walk away with positive, engaging, fun, happy, motivated energy? And if yes, then I think this is what I do. I love people. I care about people. I think we live in a fantastic time where we need to contribute. And I really try that every single time I do anything, people go, wait, you know, and they have gas in their tank or their electrical battery is refilled in 2020. But, you know, it's simple, but it's important because I get a lot of texts the next day after seeing people on the street saying, I walked away with a smile. And I'm like, good. All right. So that's my contribution. That's it.
Love it. What is your one tip to empower your team? You're a leader. You have a team of how many people?
About 40.
40. What's your one tip to empower your team?
I have so many. I think promote them. I mean, this is what I do. I always try to see how I can promote. Promote, not meaning promoting, giving them a new job at a better salary. Yes, that, but also connecting them with people that without me, they wouldn't be able to connect with, and continuously do that for everybody. Somebody writes something on LinkedIn, I take it, I post it, I scream it to the top of my lungs so everybody sees it. So it shows that you care. It shows that you trust because you put them in front of you, or I like to say, I try to put them on my shoulder and show them to the world as much as possible.
And I've seen you do this many times. What is one piece of advice to a leader who wants to take their game to the next level?
Get a coach. Read your book and get a coach. It's true. If you don't get a coach, you're not going to do the work. And learning to communicate in an engaging way to have an impact on people, takes work. It takes planning. It's like doing a strategic plan. It's the same thing. Do you do your strat plan alone in your office? No, you get experts, you get a coach, you get. So it's a strategic thing for leaders to be able to communicate well. And even when you're somebody that communicates, I have a coach, I have somebody telling me, and that's what I do for a living because I got so many things to work on all the time. So please get a coach. It's good for you personally, and it's good for you professionally, and it's certainly good for everybody that surrounds you.
And I haven't given any envelope to this lady, not at all.
You're not my coach because you're
not your coach. That's it. Yeah. If you had to summarize leadership in three words, just three words, what would they be?
So I'm going to steal that from Richard Edelman because there are the values of Edelman. And I was thinking about that last night. So at Edelman, we promote, we protect, and we evolve. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that and saying, that's what a leader has to do. You have to promote your people. You have to protect them from what they don't have. They shouldn't have to deal with a bunch of things that as a leader, it's you're the shield. Mm-hmm. And then evolve. How can you make sure that with an interaction with you as a leader, they're leaving that situation and that relationship bigger, better than you? So protect big time, promote always, and evolve.
Ev, I could really continue this conversation. I hope we do get that chance of continuing that conversation because I've learned so much working with you. I've learned so much in this conversation. I know people that were listening took some great notes. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for who you are, your authentic self, because it really brings a lot of light into our lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Chloe.
Thanks for listening to this Empower Your Team podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and can take away powerful tools and ideas. For more free content, events, and development tools, visit our website at empoweryourteam.com or on our LinkedIn or Facebook pages. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter to continue receiving Empower Your Team content and insights.